All right, here we go. Episode 031, Business Broken to Smoking Podcast. We are pulling up this Chicago song, 25 or 64, because it's about a bunch of numbers. I've never understood what the heck this song's about. Like, what is 25 or 64?
It's like on the clock.
It's a
time.
25 before 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. So we're talking with Tim Campbell, Dearman Moving and Storage, fabulous client and fabulous member of Lodestone True North recently. Congratulations, buddy. Love that. It's a tall bar to get over to get in here. So, but today we're talking about numbers. We're talking about doing a year-end review of numbers for your business, and we have a way of doing that we've done with Dearman.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it with Lodestone, with various other companies as well, and it's a great little hack on how to get all your numbers put together. So we thought we'd jump into that today on episode 31. What are you sipping on, by the way?
Some old-fashioned bourbon premix.
Ready to pour.
It's actually pretty good. It's like
I don't know who brought this. Whoever brought this, if you know who brought this, call me. I can't remember who brought it into the warehouse.
St. Elmo's Steakhouse, ready right to pour.
It was a Christmas thing.
Was it?
Yeah, but I just don't remember who it was. There.
And Shane, what do you got there?
Some sort of tequila.
Yes, this is
it?
Siete Leguas, which I think is seven horses, I think.
Because
it's got a horse on it and a seven, so I'm like, I'm going to go with seven horses.
I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably right, yeah.
Yes.
I'll look it up later.
So, here's a good episode, guys.
Four of you?
Yes. Yep. Chivalry. I heard, I was listening to Elton John the other day, Saturday. Mm-hmm. And he has a deal and everybody goes, Chivalry. I'm like, oh, that's what he said there. It's taken me 30 years to figure that out.
I never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
I gotta go look at it. That's cool.
It's in the chorus. Chivalry. You know, anyway.
Huh.
Yeah. So we're talking about doing the numbers for your biz. And so, Tim, when we did this with you guys, we did it just the other day, right? A week ago or so.
Yep. We've done it a couple times, and we did it. We did kind of every year at our annual.
Yeah. What did you, what's your takeaway? I mean, like, you're like, it sucked, Mark. I was going to tell you, you should try a different tool next time.
You're fired.
But I'm interested in, as a business owner for you, what does this exercise, what's kind of the, takeaway for you?
Well, I'm a numbers guy. So, you know, you hear the title of it and you think, oh, we're going to dig into the numbers. And that's exciting for me, the numbers. But it is, and so, but if you would think that if, for somebody who's not a numbers person, they would think, oh, that sounds boring. I don't want to do that numbers. It is such a fun way to do the numbers. It is such a, it engages the whole company, the whole staff, everybody that you got on your team. And it's numbers in a way that tells a story. And it's not financial. It's not that kind of stuff. That's part of it. But it's just way deeper and way more fun than just the spreadsheets and financials, which is a part I really like, the analytics and things like that. But this is fun exercise. It's a great, and it paints a great picture of a snapshot of where you are. And the other part that we did that was fun too, we actually pulled our number sheets from the past 2 years and things that we thought were huge victories a couple years ago and neat things. And it's like, we look at them now and like we've come a long way in 2 years.
Yeah. Yes. The annual review is always really interesting. And we look at a number of other things besides numbers. But, you know, Hall of Fame, as far as like, what did you crush last year? Big things we missed and maybe should get better at, all that. But one of the fun parts of doing this with clients is, last year you thought you nailed something the year before. Mm-hmm. And then this year you look back and like, oh, actually that was a big mistake. What we nailed was this year, da da da. You know, and so it's that learning, it's that kind of, I guess I'd say epiphany. You know, every year you think you crushed this one thing and then you look back 2 years later and, you know, for instance, hires. A lot of times on a Hall of Fame, when we're doing a Hall of Fame exercise, have we done Hall of Fame on a podcast? I don't think we have.
I don't think we have. That should be.
Talk about that in some episode in the future. But, you know, you're basically looking back over the year and say, what do we crush? Mm-hmm. What do we really nail? And sometimes it's, we finally got that ops guy that we've been trying to get for years, or we've finally hired that VP of this or that, or that sales manager, or that, you know, marketing firm or whatever, right? And then the next year,
they're
we do
there.
The same thing. And like, hey, you remember you guys thought that was a good idea last year?
You know? Whoops.
And it often leads to, they go, oh, yeah, we really suck at hiring, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think you might want to improve there. How's that interviewing process going? You know what I'm saying? Dave Ramsey said something the other day that I was like, that was pure gold. And I don't listen to Dave a ton. I maybe once a quarter, I might listen to a podcast or a little something on the radio or something like that. And he was being interviewed, and I watched a YouTube channel that was interviewing him. And like, I'm doing a bunch of money work and money thinking and strategy stuff right now. And he was apparently talking about something money-wise. I mean, go figure. But he said something, right after I do something desperate, I do something stupid. And I'm like, oh, that's really smart. That's really prescient. And it's like, dude, don't be desperate. Like, put yourself in a situation where you're not desperate. Yeah. Whatever you do, don't act out of desperation. And a lot of times, as we're doing this yearly kind of review, you look back and you're like, oh, that was desperation. That one thing we did was desperation. And that's why we hired that guy. Or that's why we bought that thing. Or that's why we started that line or ended that line of, you know, production or whatever it is. And this kind of overview, summary exercise brings about the clarity on that. So,
yeah. Anyway. I think, you know, it's like with that desperate and do something stupid. And it's like, that applies in so much, you know. I think it's kind of like, you see it like in baseball, you know, the guy's up there and it's like, he swung at a pitch he shouldn't have. And then the next one is like, he just swings for the fence or does something really stupid. It's like, you get out of your game. There was a movie years ago, and it was Kevin Costner. I think it was like,
was it the football?
The tin cup one. And he's like, and he's going to go for the green and two, and there's a pond or something in front of him, and he's going. And I think he put like 10 balls in a row in there.
Oh.
You know, it's like he went, you know, he's like trying to make this desperate, you know, make this you know, this real big, amazing play, and then just follow it up with stupid.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, how many times have you done that in business? I mean, not to put you on the spot, but, you know, that's,
Every year. About this time, yeah.
Didn't we just cover that, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to talk about this exercise. It's a super simple exercise. And chime in anytime. And on your observations, I'm just going to kind of go down through how we do it, why we do it, and any kind of observations or thoughts or input, you just jump in there. But one of the things I've noticed, and, you know, from doing this over the years, is that folks are really bad at summarizing. I don't know why they're bad at it, but to kind of get out of the weeds and go, okay, what happened last year? What's the big story? You know, well, we had this business, we sold some stuff, we lost some stuff, we hired some people, we lost some people, and they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stop doing things like, well, that one guy, and then off we go, talking about that one guy,
right?
You know, or that one client, or that one product, or that one, you know, machine or whatever.
Just that one event that happened. It's like that we got caught up in and can't summarize anything else that happened.
Mm-hmm. So we're bad at summarizing. So that's one of the reasons we do this. I've also noticed that in the mix of clients, and I've got folks that are blue collar, boots on the ground, all the way to very, I'd say, I don't know, astute, if you want to call it that way, highly educated, lots of really fancy computerized systems and stuff like that. And the whole gamut, I see people are either what I'd call data deaf, where they're not paying attention to any data. or any macro data, or they're data drunk, where they literally are inundated. They're like wallowing in data.
Almost like analysis paralysis. Yeah, they go in, they go into the numbers so deep that they can't take any action. So both of those events promote inaction. They don't promote any change in the
zero clarity in both sides. There's a inability to see or measure forward progress, to kind of look back and go, well, we were there and now we're there and then we're going to be here, you know, or kind of be able to see some sequential results between things. We're all bad at that generally. Also, this exercise tends to unearth some of the key blockages that we have a hard time seeing in the business.
Right. One of the things that really helps us to, we often do this, I think, kind of before we do the numbers, we kind of look at our stepping stones. And I love this tool too, because, you know, they're kind of color coded and it's like, you know, from red to green, you know, with the colors in between. You set these stepping stones, these markers out here, these numbers and some kind of numbers and measures of something. And you forget how far you've come, you know, and you come and you start changing the color of these from red to green or red to orange and red, you know, almost there, halfway there. We got that now. That's behind us now. And so that kind of goes on the numbers. And it's like when you're in the business day in and day out, you lose sight of that at times. It's like, okay, we were here, now we're here, but we didn't see ourselves move until you actually sit back and take a look at the numbers and these stories and things like that.
Yeah. No, I agree. 100%. So, so this exercise is helps to do that, and it's not financial. I mean, there are some financial components. For instance, hey, what was our revenue last year? So stopping right there. Very sophisticated clients on one side of the spectrum, you know, with lots of, you know, high-powered CFO. $20 million of software. All right, think about that, Matt. You know, that's five times the size of your company, right? I mean, that's how much they spend on software, all the way over to, so that sophistication, all the way over to, well, you think we ought to get QuickBooks? You know, and take our numbers out of our Yale tablet and put it in QuickBooks? Like, do you know anybody? You know, from... Yeah. The two completely extreme examples and everywhere in between. Mm-hmm. I have asked all of them at different points, hey, what's your revenue last year? And they don't know. I mean, the CFO over here will give me, like, I have to stop him after 5 minutes of an avalanche of information.
Right.
You know, I'm like, wow, I don't know, EBITDA, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Stop. Just tell me how much money came in the front door. Well, we're talking accrual or cash. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we didn't depreciate that. Yeah, we're going on in the future. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like, no wonder you guys don't get anywhere. You know, I mean, I almost said I'm no business coach, but, but you know, anyway, so from that side to over here is like, well, somebody's paying attention to that somewhere. I don't know. I don't do the books. You know what I'm saying? So anyhow, but we're not talking about, you know, the books. We're talking about, all right, how much came in last year? How much did we spend last year? How much did we keep last year? Mm-hmm. Very, very simple. So top line revenue, cash. Yeah. Not, you know, now you could also go, well, we invoiced X. Okay. And maybe you have a business where... invoicing and you getting paid 90 days, 180 days, maybe that's a big deal. Okay. And maybe saying, hey, how much did we invoice last year is a big deal. Great. And maybe you should write that down, you know, too. But we're not talking about the numbers here in a financial sense only. And actually, this is a probably, I'd say, shoot, I'm looking at the different things we're talking about, maybe 10%. Of the numbers we're looking at, or maybe a quarter, maybe tops, are financials of some sort. You know, for instance, how much did we spend on blah, blah, blah last year? How much, you know, maybe a certain type of expense or a key expense. It could be profit per X. That's a great, great number.
Right.
I don't think, have we done any of that with you?
We haven't done that. We do something similar, like one of our numbers was revenue per invoice, which is profit per X, kind of, mm-hmm. You know, that was an area. It's like, so it's a number that we measure because we want to see growth in average yeah. bill job or average, you know, average ticket or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why we track it and why we measure it. You know, gross revenue and net revenue and profit and all that stuff is, first of all, when you're sharing those, oftentimes people have no idea. I mean, you've got owners and business owners that completely overcomplicate it, and then that yeah. disseminates down to operations and salespeople, and they hear $20 million and they think, wow, the Campbell's made $20 million last year.
Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah.
Well, that's you know, if you're in business, that's not reality.
Yeah.
So that number doesn't really mean anything other than in comparison to maybe where you were 5 years ago, where you were last year, and where you're heading to. You know, it's a measure of you and your performance, but not really against anybody else that's maybe in your industry or any other industry, you know? So it's just this kind of scorecard or grade or picture of what you've accomplished and what you've done and where you're going.
Yeah. Well, so this exercise is meant to kind of get a comprehensive view mm-hmm. of the, maybe the ground covered last year. You know, what are the things we accumulated, spent, sold, all that stuff. It's meant to be, so looking at the business as a whole, it's meant to be comprehensive, meant to be macro. It's meant to be a one-page story, not a spreadsheet, mm-hmm. not a report, not a distillation of analysis, perhaps, but more of, you know, everybody at the table and the leadership team can look at this thing and say, oh, that's how we did last year. You know, and just kind of go, huh. Now, one of the things that happens here is dots get connected. You know, when you see this simple, high-level results-based summary. So, I have a, I'm just thinking about a relative and a person that I know. Let me put it this way. I'm thinking of a person I know that has 30 grandkids. And one of those grandkids was talking to this person and said, hey, you must be pretty proud of yourself, you know, 30 grandkids. And I, yeah, I'm really proud of myself. You know, and he's like, you ever thought about why only like one or two of them hang around you or like you, you know? And it was like, oh no, yeah, it's all their fault. Mm-hmm. Oh, so when you see that on, when you actually write it down, like, okay, 30, two.
Yeah. Percentage wise, that sucks.
Well, so you think that's, and you look at that, you know, like, well, I don't think that's the kids. You know what I mean? It's just right. All of a sudden you can make a correlation by mm-hmm. just seeing it. Mm-hmm. And this is rough. You know, that's a rough truth.
That's a huge, you talk about correlations.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge thing that shows up in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You start to see these ratios or how this number, how it impacted that number. And mm-hmm. what are the combination of these two numbers? Like, what does 30 grandkids and two talking to you say about you? Or what does $30 million and no profit say about your business? You know,
that's
it's
right.
like, it's that's the same
right.
type of thing. There's a ratio here. There's a correlation between the two. I was, you know, it's like, you're going to bleep me here on this, but we used to, one of our scorecard numbers was how many times my brother said, in a day.
Oh man, yeah. Dude, that is
that's,
so funny.
That's not even on our scorecard anymore, you know, because like it used to be, it's like, oh man, today it's like
you guys have really moved up. I can't tell you how many clients when I'm explaining scorecard for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, "Well, what sort of things do we measure?" And I'm, you know, I'm trying to get them to stop measuring financials.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, inputs, you know, things that show, are we having a good week? And I've used that example.
Yeah. And I mean, we took it serious. We bought a clicker.
I know. Yes.
To keep score. I mean, yes. It was like.
Oh, man. And what was green? Like if we were at, was it 8 or 10 or 5?
Less than 5 or something a day or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, man.
Because he wasn't shy about it. You know,
yeah.
It
was oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Bleep. Yes. Well, so it's you see correlations and none of the correlations are, some of them are really exciting.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like, hey, we did it. We got this and that happened and that connects to this and we'll look you there.
Yeah.
You know, and other correlations are, you know, things like, man, we worked that hard and we got nothing mm-hmm. at the end of the year. We got how much net profit? Or maybe it's we didn't get any great reviews.
Yeah.
Or our clients still hate us, you know, or like what we're doing all year. You know? Well, maybe we should do something else. You know, maybe we should, I don't know, sell the thing.
Well, that was one of the things that was we talked about on ours, you know, our number of reviews.
Yeah.
It's kind of the grandkid things. Yeah. Hey, we did awesome last year. We had 500 reviews. And I'm not talking about ours, I'm just talking in general. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't necessarily, that's not the whole story. If they're all one star, that's the story. You
right.
know, the story is
yeah.
what was the yeah. ratio or percentage of 4 stars and 5 stars to 1 star?
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not,
yeah, it's an important
it's
number.
Not this great, you know, wow, we had 500 reviews yeah. last year. Yay.
Yes.
Yes. They're right. all 1 star.
Yeah. Well, so if you're not telling a good one page story, you're not getting epiphanies about your business,
right?
You're not going, oh, that's, we should work harder here. We should sell this line. We should stop hiring these kind of people. We should double down on hiring these kind of people or in this department, or we should close this department, or we should sub this out, or we should bring it back in house. You know, whatever. We got to make some good, big, macro strategic moves. And we got to have something to look at.
Right.
And if you're sitting around staring at spreadsheets, the leadership team is gone.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, there's about 3 people I know, you being one of them, who can read spreadsheets and go, oh, no, I understand. I'm like, to me, it is abuse to hand me a spreadsheet. You know, I was like, what did I do? You know, here, Mark, go through these numbers. Really? Like, could I break rocks with a hammer? Could I go to the dentist, you know, instead?
And for me, it's like this thing I get up and do in the middle of the night at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
it just
man.
Like all the energizes
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Penny's like, Tim, you're feeling bad? Yeah. Well, just go do some numbers. You know? Why don't you open up Excel, honey? You'll feel better.
Oh.
You know? Oh, man. So, all right. So we're trying to, the first step in this.
I want to go back to one thing you just said that was really, really important. And it's like we talk about numbers and you talk about this one page thing. There's only a few people in your organization that are going to look at your financials and be excited about them.
Mm.
But this thing that you're, this one page thing you're talking about, it energizes your team. It energizes your customers. It's something your customers like, wow, this tells a story that's way different than the financials.
Yeah.
And you can get buy-in from your staff, your customers and everything. If these numbers are telling that story, because it's like, wow, I want to work for a company that these things are important, or I want to do business with a company that's like values more than just their financials.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, there's another thing I want to add there too. That's a really great little kind of hack to do right in the middle of this exercise. And again, this is an exercise you're doing with your leadership team. So you've got folks at the table, hopefully, that you're not related to. Right. Not that it's bad to be related to people at the leadership team level. It just is complicated. But what I mean is they may not be owners. They may not be partners. They may not be shareholders or whatever. And so owners, partners, shareholders are much more, I would say, interested, meaningfully interested in profit. Because that's how owners get paid
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day for an ROI on their asset. Now they're getting paychecks and all that stuff too. But a great little exercise. I don't remember who shared this with me. This is probably, I think it might be, this is a shout out to Preston True. Shane, we should send him a little something. Tell him, hey, we shout out to you on episode 31. Preston True, killer pinnacle coach in Detroit or Michigan area. I think it was him who showed me this 100 pennies exercise where, and at the leadership team table, we could have done this the other day, but this is super simple. You take the 100 pennies and you say, all right, so this represents 100% of our year, of our revenue. You say revenue. And then you say, okay, so we spent this much on OPEX. And you take, let's say it's 30%. Cool. Take 30 pennies and you shove them over. Take them off the table. Like, we spent that. And then we spent blah, blah, blah on payroll. And you're like, some of that are you folks here, right? And you just kind of shove that over, peel it off. So now we're at about 20 left or so. 25 maybe, if you're really sharp, you know? And then we go, okay, so we paid a bunch of taxes. Oh, and debt. And just now you got about one left.
Yep.
I go, oh, yeah, we get debt. Hey, and you say to your brother, you say to your wife, you say to your other owner, hey, what do you say? You got any tin snips? And we could cut this in half? And the folks at the table are going, holy crap, these guys got nothing out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of energy expended to generate.
Yeah, a half a penny,
yeah.
You know, or half a percent of revenue. Like, that sucks. Sucks, dude.
It's like I'm a huge proponent of family businesses, a huge proponent of, small businesses. But that's the reality where a lot of us are. You know, it's like if you're in business and it's like you have a vision when you go into business, it's all about you want to make money and make a profit and provide for your family. And at some point that has to happen or your business isn't going to be around. But you have to love more than the financial results of your business if you're going to do it every day.
Oh, yeah.
That is not going to sustain. That half a penny is not going to sustain you year in and year out. It's this story. It's these other numbers that are you get excited about.
Yep. Well, and it's not all about the money either. There's a healthy way to do this and a healthy amount of profit. And if you don't have a healthy amount of profit, the business is starving. The owners are starving. The business is in trouble with its competitors. The business is in trouble with where innovation is going. You can't keep up with that. You can't reinvest. You can't update. You can't hire great people. You're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Like you're dying slowly if you're. And there's a couple of, I don't know, I've heard all kinds of numbers here, but shoot, if you're below 5%, you know, you're really starting to run on fumes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have 5 or so anyway to just keep healthy, arguably barely healthy. So anyway, that's a great little side exercise to do in the middle of this thing. So we're going to talk about how to actually do this. Hands on. So first you want to gather, and this is how I think about it when I get ready to do this with a team. I tend to gather, all right, what are the big elements of the business? And I think about a particular business and think about the particular macro elements. So for instance, if it's a manufacturing client, I'll kind of in my mind go through, well, what are the elements that we've been working on through the years or through the year? And there's, efficiencies, there's uptime, there's safety, there's various production truths. There could be training elements. There could be obviously efficiencies or production around a particular machine, or there could be some innovation stuff. There could be waste, perhaps. And then on the other side, if it's a service business, there could be, hours per build, invoice or per build dollar or something like that. Or it could be dollars per trip or hours per trip or trips per job, so if it's like an HVAC company, like, hey, did we do how many of these were one trip jobs? If we're doing two trip jobs, we're losing money. If we're doing one trips, that's a big number. Also on the service side, it could be follow-ups or reviews or callbacks or complaints or work orders, those sort of things.
Awards, achievements, kind of things.
Also could be direct referrals. It could be organic referrals, that sort of thing. But the point is to first get your head around the whole business and go, what are all of the big elements of our business? And as a team, to catch that and to say, you know, so like, let's say you're talking about, I don't know, your house. You say, what are the elements of our house? Well, we got the flooring, you know, we got plumbing. Okay. The heat. Yeah. The refrigerator, you know, and just, you start to gather these different elements, mm-hmm. you know, the paint, you know, how warm is it? You know, stuff like that. What neighborhood are we in, et cetera. So as a team, you just gather the big elements. Then, you want to kind of see and ask, hey, how did our year actually go? Like, what are the truths? And sometimes, a lot of times when I do this, folks have a hard time disconnecting from the present. And they say, yeah, well, right now we're this. I'm like, yeah. But what I'm asking you is, what about last year? What about the year 2022, mm-hmm. let's say? Well, that was 22 too, but now we're, and they're trying to, you know, it's like going to the dentist and the dentist goes, hey, you got this weird thing on your gum. Well, yeah, but I'm flossing now, Dennis. Really, I am. Like, yeah, I get that, but there's this thing from last year, you know, it's like, you know what I mean? So they have a hard time shifting. So you've got to get those buckets in place and then you can start to ask things from those perspectives. So money is a no-brainer. Now, when you dig into the money bucket or the money topic, there's a lot of ways to discuss money or say, what happened last year with money? And collect it in a way that is just a bullet point or one heading where you might say, how much was our revenue last year? So just put revenue on a big white sheet of paper. Well, let me back up. Take a big white sheet of paper, mm-hmm. sticky note. Whiteboard could be a big whiteboard. And you just write right in the middle of the whiteboard or piece of paper, the numbers, 2022. Then you say, all right, so right at the top, revenue. What was our revenue last year? Right away, folks start arguing mm-hmm. and start saying, well, now it should have been blah, blah, blah. Well, if we wouldn't have lost that one thing, or you know that because of that guy quit. And you got to stop them. Bring them on back and say, listen, I just need a number. What was our revenue last year? Well, now you're talking about collected or revenue. Okay, so we could maybe have three types of revenue. Well, we have total revenue, revenue invoiced, or well, and I don't know if that's revenue. I mean, depending on your type mm-hmm. of business and books and all that stuff. But how much money we put in the bank? You know, I just go to cash. How much cash do we bring in? You could also say, all right, how much did we spend total? Period, out the door, and then how much is left over? Now, a lot of times people cannot figure that out, that basic deal. Now, you guys did really good with that. You were able to pound that out. You had
We really like to look at like even sectors. We like mm-hmm. to look at, you know, customers. You know, it's like, you know, did we grow in certain, you know, customers that we're dealing with, certain mm-hmm. Target audience, mm-hmm. Different business types that we deal yeah. with. So, Because COVID was a great example of this. It's like there were certain areas that during COVID that we were up significantly, but there was areas in COVID that we were down 90 and 100%, you know, mm-hmm. because, I mean, yeah. they just got completely shut down. If you just look at the one number, you kind of miss some of those deeper
yeah.
things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
digging in a little deeper and seeing sure. things like that reveals some truths about, you know, that you may have had a better or worse year than you realize. Or,
yeah.
You may have learned something from it.
Yeah. Well, so a couple of areas that you could hone in on money, besides revenue, profit, you could do productivity. I don't know if we've talked about productivity on the podcast here, but productivity is a super simple. Do you remember if we have? I don't think we have.
No, I don't think we have.
I don't know. So here's how you do it. You take revenue divided by operating expenses, all in operating expenses, not talking about EBITDA or any of that stuff. We're not trying to, you know, get a degree or pass some, you know, CPA, whatever exam. This is super simple. Hey, if we brought in $1 million and we spent 900,000, our productivity is 1.1. So you take $1 million in revenue and divide it by total expenses. And we're not trying to say, well, owner's paying, da-da-da-da-da. We're just literally just going, hey, just a super flat, crisp, clean formula to see if the business is productive. Did it make $100,000 off of $900? So do we take 900 and we spent 900, we got it back and we got an additional 100. That's fruitful. Mm-hmm. You know, we created $100,000 essentially. And that's a 10% profit, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little rough, but it's a 10% profit. So, so productivity is a great, simple needle or metric to check the needle, see if the needle's moved or stayed the same, or use it to say, this is how we're going to measure. Are we doing okay? A number of my clients, you guys included, we're measuring productivity mm-hmm. on a regular basis, right?
And we measure productivity, and another one we measure is gross profit. Mm-hmm. For us, is the cost of goods sold, you know, the direct costs associated with revenue. That's real important to us. And it's like that points things out and helps us see where we're going.
Yeah. Other money kind of things you could measure. And don't measure these if they don't matter. Okay. But you could, misses. It could be financial misses. Like, hey, we lost this much money in this thing, or we failed financially in this area. That could be costs. It could be reworks, could be, waste or warranty money spent or something like that. It could be, perhaps commissions spent. It could be all sorts of ways. You could also dial down into some of the key expenses. I would encourage you to dial down, not too far, but things like, all right, so how much we spend on facilities, how much we spend on fuel, how much we spend on trucks, mm-hmm. how much we spend on blah, blah, blah. Of course, payroll, and you could maybe break that down a little bit further. So you might have maybe 10 or 12 money slots.
We have an example of a money kind of tells a story and something that shows up on ours, and we kind of laugh about it now. Postage is a number that used to be on ours, and it used to be thousands of dollars a month that we had allowed for postage and stamps. We did marketing and stuff for things like that. And now we spend like $120 to $150 a year in postage.
A year.
And we used to spend thousands of dollars a month. So that tells a story. I mean, it's saying something about where we're going, where society's going, how we've embraced technology. Yeah. It tells a lot of stories more than just, it's not the $120 we spend. It's really telling a story of what we didn't spend.
Yeah. Well, so another area then we can measure or say, hey, what happened last year is people. So this is a great big giant bucket. Or giant kind of subcategory. Well, what kind of people truths? What sort of truth? So,
I think of people like productivity.
Yeah.
How many did you start out with?
Yeah.
How many did you end with? And how many came and went along the way? What was your turnover ratio? What's that say? Because it's telling something, a story about your culture. Or
could be retention too. What's our average? Retention age.
Right.
That may be bad if you are bad managers and you have bad workers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shortening that retention would be a good number.
Right.
Perhaps if a turnover might be good, perhaps. I mean, it's arguable, but if you have great employees and they're leaving, well, shoot, turnover's super bad. And turnover often is very bad, but
we actually celebrate that some at ours. Because it's like if you can advance and move up and we're a lid on you and you're capped with how far you can go here, I'm excited. Yeah. And you can go and take out their opportunities. Maybe you're going to school. Maybe you're going to, do other things. It's not always a bad thing, but it can impact your business. Sure. But it's still a good thing that you're raising up people within your company and motivating them to, get excited about some other stuff. Mm-hmm.
There's other kind of all kinds of people things to measure, things like culture, and if you're doing kind of right people, right seat, or if you're measuring culture in any other way, you've got some sort of indicator, some sort of needle, some sort of metric around, well, where are we at on culture? And you could pop that on the chart. Things like competition, maybe. You could say, well, how about those people? Where are they at? That could fall under a people measure. You could also throw in this perhaps community. Hey, what's our impact on the community? That may be a indicator of something. Vendors are people. Vendors are people too. You might say, what are some truths about some of our vendors? What are you know, how many do we have? How good are they? Are we losing them? Are we gaining them? You know, it could be how much money are we spending on these vendors? You may want to spend more, or may want to spend less, but you can't tell. You can't make a good decision until you kind of look at the basics right up front, right? There could be clear performance numbers. This could be around things like, you know, various efficiencies. It could be training around your people. Hey, how many training hours do we have last year? How many? It could be safety. It could be
how many accidents, injuries, claims, that kind of thing. Yeah,
sure. Now, you could also park this under our stuff, perhaps, or under our people, either one. So there's a correlation right there where we go, hey, how many training hours do we have last year? Does anybody,
anybody track that?
We got that. You got a, who da? And, you know, it's uncomfortable for me. Although I chuckle about it and I'm like, you guys want to train? I mean, just saying. So training hours go up and then we go, hey, and we still have the same mistakes, reworks, accidents. Okay. Well, something's up there, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like saying, hey, I spend all this time with my kid and he still hates me. Yeah, okay. So maybe it's not the amount of time. Maybe it's the quality of time. Maybe it's what you say during that time. I mean, there's something going on there, bro. You know?
Maybe the kid's not a good fit.
It's the kid, you know? Yes. There you go. There you go.
Well, but in a business at times, you know, in it's like business, it's not a kid. Yes, but is it the right person for the right seat?
That's
We hire people and we believe when we hire them that they're going to be a good fit and they're right.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
People
that's
always interview well and their resumes always look good, but that doesn't always align with what you get when you hire them. It's like you hire them and it's like, man, this none of this is lining up with what your interview or your resume said.
Yeah.
You know, so
where's the guy that interviewed? I mean, are you his brother, twin brother?
Oh,
man. You know, a funny story about twins. I have a buddy, Heath. Heath, if you're listening, shout out to Heath Hostetler. He has this identical twin, and we were camping a while back, and he told me that when they were in college, that he was one brother was like 3 hours away from each other, and they switched places. They did like a movie thing, and they switched places for a week and went to classes and friends and girlfriends, the whole nine yards, dude. Like, how in the world did you pull that off? You know, and it took, he said one person figured it out. It was one of the guy's girlfriends or buddies or something that was like, wait a minute, you're not Heath, you know, like a week later.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, isn't that weird?
That's awkward, actually.
Yeah, it's really awkward. Yeah, you're like, wait, I thought you were somebody else, you know? Yeah, so, and then Marcus Luttrell, I don't know if you've heard of him, the Navy SEAL, lone survivor. He has a twin, identical twin brother. And I read this in some book that Marcus was going through BUDS. And he broke his leg in BUDS somehow, like got a fracture or a hairline fracture or something like that. And his brother, who was not in the Navy, all right?
Substitute for him?
They swapped in the dead of night somehow. In the middle of freaking BUDS. That was just super intense. Like, beyond, that's an understatement to call it intense.
That's an example of his instructor saying, are you the guy I interviewed?
Right. Well, and the guy made it, like, it took him like a week to figure out. Like, they're like, wait, this isn't the same guy. But they were so freaking impressed. They're like, all right, you're in. They signed him up for the Navy, and they put him right into BUDS. They beat the crap out of him along the way. But I think he went on to be in SEAL Team 6, his brother, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember his name. But anyway, so talking about, hey, do you have an evil twin that we interviewed, like, or a great twin? Because you're the evil twin, you know, in the performance side of things. But so anyway, you can measure performance numbers of some sort, truths. They could be things like core value callouts, you know, ways that we recognized people, or the ways that, you know, in moving the culture needle. How many times did folks just like act so awesome that matched our core values so robustly that we had to hold ourselves back from calling it out. And we called them out. And there's that thing, that award, that call out, whatever.
That wasn't something that we tracked, but just you know, the poker chips that we give out. And how much did we pay out in poker chips last year? And it's like, we didn't track it, and it wasn't one of our numbers. But, yeah, that really says a lot about, you know, how our staff, how we feel about our staff, our core values, how the vision we're casting, all of that.
Yeah. Well, and at the end of this, once you kind of do this exercise, then you want to build a template for this, and that's a great catch, mm-hmm. you know, that we need to add that to your template,
right.
The core value callouts. Other ways could be reviews. It could be clients calling in or customers calling in and going, that so-and-so was awesome, or I really want to recommend what you call it. You know, I had a plumbing situation that, and my daughter had called this plumber, and she lives in a house of mine that I rent her. And so we had this plumbing. She called the plumber because I didn't want to do it. And besides, there's two rules to plumbing. The first rule is, you know what flows downhill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The second rule of plumbing is never bite your nails. So I didn't want to do the job.
Yeah.
I call somebody. She's mm-hmm. like, Dad, the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, here, call these guys. You know, so mm-hmm. so she did. And the guy was awesome. And so I had a situation at my house. And I'm like, hey, what are those plumbers you called? She goes, ask for this one guy because he was great. And she called in and said how great the guy was, how polite he was, how friendly, how what a great job. He was super timely. He worked really hard. He didn't goof around. He wasn't outside smoking all afternoon, you know. He didn't leave any trash anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of courteous, professional, your baseline, like, oh, that was awesome. And so she called him up and told him.
Right.
Told his boss, you know, spread it around a little bit. So that's a great measurement.
That was one of the things that, you know, as we were kind of looking at our numbers and we saw some of those ratios and correlations, and we looked at like referrals, repeat business, a couple other things that we looked at, and it's like, you know, name recognition.
Yeah.
People called us, and we saw it's like, man, out of 10 leads of that type, we closed 90% of them, or we closed 9 out of them, we closed 8 of them. It's like, what are we chasing leads over here for? We need to figure out how to get more of those in our bucket. You know, and it's like, and it wasn't me that sees it. It's like the whole team sees it. It's like, why are we going after that stuff and spending all this money to go after that stuff when that's what we should be focused on?
Yeah. And those folks are really great referral partners too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that needs to be sent right over to sales, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, sales folks, these people love us. What can we do for them? How can we help them out? How can we help them become, you know, raving fans, you know, mavens for us, right?
Right.
What was that book that we were reading about?
Is it The Tipping Point?
Yeah, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about mavens and the other two kind of sales or the kind of two spreaders of information.
Right.
Yeah, that's fun. Other ways, well, retention, obviously, turnover. That's some people stuff. So we got money stuff. We got some people stuff. And when I'm facilitating this, I'll throw that out there for the first time.
Well, even measuring growth with people, like
how
many do you have on your admin staff or sales staff or that wasn't here a year ago? I mean, you've added some seats. Another thing that we talked about, and it was huge for us because, you know, in 2012, I was working 60, 70 hours a week and everything ran through me. And we kind of looked at this year and said, how much time did Tim and Chris get away from the office? Versus years before, as owners, you know, in other levels, that's huge. My daughter, one of the things that she's looking at in her numbers is what percentage of her time is focused on working on the business, where she's actually sitting back and looking at big picture stuff instead of in the business, and getting the other people to see and notice that and measure that and see that on the numbers, you know, that's huge. So, you know, that people say, oh, wow, you know.
Yeah. There's this old saying, what gets measured gets done. And I don't know where that tracks back to, but you can say, hey, do you spend a lot of time working on the business or in the business? Oh, yeah, I spend a lot of time on the business. Oh, how much? A lot? You know, well, where is that on the calculator? Like, which button says a lot? Mm-hmm. You know, is that 1,500 hours a year? That'd be a lot. That'd be 4 days a week, right, or something. Or is it 15 hours a year. You know, you may say that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about? Like, where is that? And it's really, you know, we got to put a number on it in order to make a value judgment.
That was probably, I've always spent a lot of time working on the business. I didn't realize how important it was, but that was one of the things is, you know, as we partnered with you and came up with you, and it's like just that you passed on to me and showed me the value of a little, the ratio of the, this time spent versus the time in the business and how, which, yeah. you know, this not equal ratio. An hour spent here and an hour here doesn't translate to
right.
the bottom line
right.
equally. You know, that yes. the hour spent on the business
yeah.
really is exponentially more powerful yeah. than, and so I really tried to empower yeah. that in Kaylin, Bethany, Kale, and yes. the team to embrace this, because when you're always just putting fires working in the business,
yeah.
You're really kind of looking at the stuff that's already happened. You're not looking yeah. about what's going to happen. So
yes, yes. So, you know, on people, it could be just a census around your staff. A lot of times you're working hard to raise the level, the actual how many have we got here? And we're trying to go from 8 to 15 or from 20 to 25 or 25 great ones to you know, 30 great ones, whatever. Or maybe you have 25 such and such, and it could be 25 in this department and 5 in this department, and that ratio is perfect and you want to keep it that way, or you may be trying to shift it to equal, you know, 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be ratio between departments. It could be volume or total number of people in a department.
Do you still use the people analyzer much, talking or coaching around that?
I do. I do it a little more. I do it with lots more color.
Okay.
I think it's a good... I love the idea when you're reading Traction, the idea of going, oh, we need to have a way to talk about culture mm-hmm. and have a way to say, does this person fit our culture?
Right.
And I think the people analyzer is a good initial tool to go, oh, that's a way to do it. But I don't think it's the ultimate way.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a good first way to do it.
We still use it and use it as and kind of look at the ratio again. Of the people in our organization, if we run the people analyzer on everybody, what percentage yeah. of people, it really is a great indicator yeah. of people, the right people yeah. in the right seats
yeah.
and people fitting in the culture. Yeah. And so again, it's a, you know, is that 80%? Is it 90%? Mm-hmm. Is it 100%? And that really yeah. says, the closer it is to 100%, the more you're running like a well-oiled machine, yeah. you know?
Well, and the ways that I kind of encourage folks to take it up a notch would be to add more color, add more to say scale of 1 to 10
instead of 3,
or use our color system, you know, red, orange, yellow, light green, dark green. Or if it's 1 to 10, you can do, and if you have 5 core values, you can say, well, score out of 50. So it creates a little more nuance, maybe mm-hmm. not a ton. We're not trying to overanalyze this thing,
right.
but I've just found, you know, in an EOS way, you're saying yes. Maybe, or yes, no, you know, mm-hmm. yes, sometimes, and no. And I think that's valuable. But I just think it's the doorway into
okay. yeah.
Taking the pulse of your culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing about that is I even think about that, it's a little more abstract. It's not, mm-hmm. it's sometimes, I mean, because two people can look at the same yeah. person and
yes,
the numbers are, yes. there's a little bit more feeling, emotion yes. involved in it.
Yes.
Than yes. hard numbers. So
yes, well, you know, to that point, I've seen many clients following that system pretty hard, but they don't do anything about the folks that are below par in their system.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, so you follow, you know,
I'm kidding.
Dude, you got me.
You totally got you.
Can I just call you a knucklehead?
yeah, that would be it.
Dude, you got to tell a story. Can you tell a story? Don't give any names.
Yeah, I can tell a story. Right. Yeah, we had 3 employees that actually showed up on this thing, and they absolutely were not the right people for our organization.
And how long ago was that?
2018 was the first time.
Okay. And that showed up pretty quick, right?
Pretty quick, yep.
Okay. All right. And then what?
And this is 2023, and the last one just is gone. So they clearly did not fit yeah. in our organization for... Yeah. 5 years, 6 yeah. years.
And how many times did we have a session and somebody had a rock to fire one of the knuckleheads? And we would kind of get to, hey, let's solve some issues. What are issues? Oh, blah, 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 blah. and we'd get down to the root, and it'd be one of these knuckleheads.
Yep.
Bless their hearts. Yeah. You know, I hope they're flourishing off somewhere.
Me too. It's like, yes, I don't want any. It's like, and that's the thing with the whole people analyzer. It's not that they're bad people. They're just not good for your organization. Right. They do not fit your culture. They don't fit the direction you're going. They don't fit in their skills or ability to do what you do. Yeah. And that does not make them a bad person whatsoever. And I like these people. If I saw them, I'd buy a beer with them and sit down and talk to them. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just but that was more, in fact, the fact that it took 5 years to do anything about it. It's nothing about them. That's our leadership and our ignoring the data, the numbers in front of us.
Yeah. And I think one of the problems with people analyzer type, any kind of tool like that, where you're going, hey, how's our culture? It creates this touchy place where you're going, oh, if I really look at this carefully, then I'm going to have to do something about it, you know, and I don't want to, you know, and it's like, no, I don't think I, you know, my culture is great. And so everybody... So on any of these analysis tools that are subjective, they end up going, you know, oh yeah, there's sevens and eights and stuff, you know, and it's like, well, who stole all that money out of the? Oh, that's one of these guys. The seven or eight out of 10. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, he gave it back, you know, and it just starts to turn into this like. All these excuses come out. And so that's where I think that the people analyzer stuff is a little tough, because I have to gauge the buy-in of the client's kind of willingness to do something about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's where it gets real. That's why I think of it as a entry-level tool to entry-level in it's the first phase of one of those types of tools, I would say.
You know, we talk about that. We've talked about it. I've talked about it with you. I've talked about it with my team. Talked about it with Kaylin, our CEO. And how many people, and this sounds heartless, but how many people did this person, you know, manage or terminate this last year? Mm. You know, it's like, okay, that might sound heartless, but absolutely. Yeah. There is no business out there that every person that's in your department is a good fit for your company. Yep. And there's people that you need to fire, and there's people that you need to get rid of, and they're bad for your culture. They're going to create problems. They're going to cost you money. And they can be good people, but that's a reflection of your leadership and your managers, not so just about them. If you're allowing those people to stay in there, and just even looking at that number, it's like, that's a measure of your manager. Are they the right people? Are they stepping into conflict? Yeah. Are they willing to do what needs done to move the business forward?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and so it could be a great measurement. If you're talking about management, and there's a whole, man, we could go all over the place here, but you got a great manager. How many training conversations did they have? Or how many times did they take their people out for coffee? Mm-hmm. Or how many quarterly conversations did you have last year? Or how many conversations, manager, did you have where you asked those folks, hey, do you have what you need? How much of whatever do you need from me? Can I help you with do your job in any way? Not do your job for you, but help you get better at doing your job.
Right.
Because that's my job, is to help you do your job, you know, and as a manager. And so you could measure that, some of that kind of, and none of that stuff pops out of software. And if it is popping out of software, you're working too hard.
I mean, right.
Who's sitting there inputting all that stuff? I mean, you got, you know, I mean, get a life. You know what I mean?
That is my life, Mark. I like doing that.
Hurts a little.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, buddy. Take another sip there, buddy.
A little ouch.
All right. So far we got lots of ways you can kind of take the pulse or put the stethoscope on the business as far as money, as far as people. So now stuff. We got lots of ways to look at stuff. In a business like yours, we got facility, right? Yep. We got, you know, equipment like trucks. You know, you got auxiliary equipment, perhaps.
Yeah, those are all tangible things. But, you know, some of the more intangible things that I think of as stuff, it really has to do with sales and marketing. You know, how many web visits did you have? That's a stuff. How, you know, what's your digital presence? How, you know, you know, how many conversations are being, you know, Facebook likes, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
followers. Those are kind of intangible things, you know.
You could put your website in here, perhaps.
Yeah. How many pages is your website? Yeah. I was talking to our digital guy the other day, and I think he said one of our competitors has 6,000 pages of content.
Jeez.
And it's like, no, they're a major competitor. Well, as far as Google is concerned and trying to be ranked and out there, that's 6,000 compared to your average small business. You can't compete. So, you know, but that's an intangible, but that's stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a measure. You know, how are you growing your presence and visibility to your target audience?
That'd be a great, so how many, how would you compare to them? I mean, would you set yourself up beside them and go, oh, so they got 6,000. We've got X. We should probably try to get to Y. Is that a worthy?
I try a different approach to that. I try to say, okay, how are we different? Mm-hmm. And who is our target customer? And I'm just going to focus on writing content, creating content that targets these specific people instead of trying to compete against them, because I can't compete against small. Most small businesses cannot compete in branding.
Sure.
We don't have enough money to brand. I can't. There's small businesses that do things, and it's like they can't compete against a Nike or an Adidas or a Wendy's. You know, a local business. How are they going to compete against a chain? You know,
exactly.
So they've got to do things that separate themselves. So one of our numbers is, and we even brought this up, what is our USP? You know, what is our unique selling proposition? What are the things that make us not a commodity? Mm-hmm. And not from my point, but it's from everybody that works in our business. Because when we had we brought our sales and some of the crews in this time for a day, and we were getting input from them, and we wanted to hear it from their perspective. What are some of the things that we can measure that set us apart from everybody else that's doing what we do? Because we don't want to be a commodity. So the first time you're a commodity, then it's all about money.
Yeah, and I want to put a pin in that, because one of the areas we can measure some things is in strategies, our strategies. Mm-hmm. And as part of it, like, hey, we have these unique propositions, we have these ways that we can't compete with the big guy in that level, so we have this strategic, I call them strategic fingerprints, we have this thing that only we do, and we're gonna do this instead of that, and that's how we're gonna win business and be nimble and fly under the radar or whatever. So we ought to measure some of that stuff,
right?
How did that go?
One of our things, and it's like it's a super big win for us. As we started this YouTube channel, Moving in the Fast Lane.
Yes.
And we have, when we had our meeting, we had one subscriber. Now I'm anxious to see a year from now. That's awesome that we have it. We did something. We accomplished something. It's on our scorecard. That's a win. Yeah. That's a number.
Absolutely.
So what's it going to look like a year from now? And how do we measure that? Yeah. And was it a win a year from now? Was it one of those things we look back and say, wow, we're glad we did that. Or wow, that was a stupid idea.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
That's right. Other ways we can measure stuff. So it's other kinds of equipment. It could be facility, like building type stuff. It could be.
How many locations you have?
Yeah. It could be number of locations. It could be number of square feet. It could be staff per square feet or something. It could be, whatever makes sense. It could be quality. It could be uptime. It could be around machinery. You know, you get into products. It could be product truth.
Yeah, like manufactured. Reworks, like how many lines do you have?
Waste. There's a whole, there's entire careers around measuring this stuff. There could be supply chain could fit in here, perhaps, around your stuff. It could be, this could be warehousing. It could be inventory. It could be all kinds of hard stuff, like tangibles.
Yeah, talk about supply chain. What we've incurred in the last 2-3 years is how, what's the delay or how's the time, the supply chain, what's that number now that it takes? Yeah. Like I ordered something, my wife and I are building a house and we ordered cabinets for the house.
Yeah.
And they told us originally it was going to take 6 to 8 weeks to get them. When we ordered them, now they're saying 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
What is that number in your business? How is the supply chain number increasing impacted your business?
Yeah.
You know, something that used to get in 3 days, now it's taking 3 weeks or getting back ordered. Those are things to measure and take a look at.
Sure.
They tell a story about what your business is doing, what's going on, and how you adapt.
That's right. So another big bucket. So we got money, people, stuff, process.
Mm-hmm.
So we can throw in here our sales process, marketing process, operations process of various types, finance processes. So we may have some spots in our processes that are key storytelling truths of how are we doing. So mm-hmm. it could be a number of times we had to hand this back to ops to rework it, or a number of times that ops had to bring sales in to simmer down a customer because, you know, sales teed it up wrong or mm-hmm. something like that. There could be processes inside of there, like how many times did we make this first call or second call or third call, right. or how many times did we get somebody that called us organically from our marketing process? Is our marketing process working? Did we have XYZ on marketing? How many clicks, how many likes, how many shares, how many, you know, et ceteras? So from your YouTube stuff, we do this with, you know, various views, mm-hmm. watches, likes, listens, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those things are, you know, folks can hang out there and wallow around in data all day long, but we're just trying to find the big stuff.
Right.
So you can poke around in those processes.
I like the process thing. That was one of the things when we started with you that I struggled with. It's like, okay, process. What do you mean by process? And it's like, to me, it's like, okay, so step one through step 10, and we're doing this where we're writing processes, and we talked about big processes. And now I see processes is, okay, customers come in here and you spit them out the other end, and it's like revenue, a lead, customer, you know, operations goes through finance and a raving fan. Okay. And this, it goes through.
Yeah.
And the process for us, and now I see it now, is how do we get this customer from here to here with no hiccups?
Yeah.
Basically, that's what processes are for.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a hiccup, then we got to go back and redo our process, yeah. because if it broke anywhere along that line, we need to add a process.
Yeah,
we dropped a ball. We forgot something. We damaged something. We lost something. We lost money on it, whatever. That's the reason for processes. So processes for us have become this super, super important thing to capture and identify. And we talked about that on some of our things, some of these processes we've added and things that have solved by our processes.
Yeah, that's great. And there's you know, a lot, there's systems too. I suppose I didn't touch on this in my notes here, but we could punch out a few numbers from our systems too. And systems and processes they overlap, they get cross confused sometimes. I think of systems as when you flip the switch, the thing just goes.
Right.
Process is more like here's how we're gonna do stuff. So I think of process as a play in football. You know, but a system is more like, hey, when you turn the key on the team bus, you know, the electrical system fires up the ignition system, which fires up the fuel system, and the guy driving the bus is like, I don't know, I just turned the key. You know, the process is keep a hold of the key there, boss, and put it in your pocket. You know, don't lose the bus key. You know,
that's what I used to confuse systems with process.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, if you're depending on what kind of business you are. If systems are down, that's impacting your business.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking today. I mean, a major internet company that you deal with, they go down about so often, weather like that. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, does your business have downtime because of systems going down? You know, as you're losing internet, your power's going out, broken machinery, whatever. Measuring that's uptime on your systems would be a good part of your story to measure.
Yep. Could be maintenance on your systems. It could be training on your systems. It could be... Maybe it could be bandwidth of some sort on your system, depending on you know, what your systems are.
Waste.
You
know, like if you go to fast food restaurant and they have a system and it always burns the fries and you're always throwing the fries out.
That's right.
That's a broken system.
That's right.
You know, and so waste would be a measure of.
Mm-hmm. So we got money, people, stuff, process. And now we got strategy. And again, these are just very big general parking lots that you can hunt around for truths. And in the strategy parking lot, things like vision. All right, well, we're headed to so-and-so. How far have we gotten?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there may be some, and when we're doing stepping stones, there's evidence of that. I love to try to say, hey, here's how many rocks. I don't think we did that with you guys.
Yeah, we did.
Did we? How many rocks? And how many?
Like 8 out of 9 or something like that.
Okay. All right. And he'll, I almost said who it was. I shouldn't say clients' names on the air, I don't think.
They'll bleep you again.
Although they crushed it. I should shout out to them. Hillcrest Lumber.
There you go.
There it is. they did. They were. They're pretty much almost 100%.
Almost every time.
They were 95%.
Really close.
And you know, if you're in the '90s, you're freaking crushing it. You know, mm-hmm. and you're in the '90s. Mm-hmm. There. I mean, I'm no mathematician, but I think 8 out of 9 is pretty much 90%, isn't it? Pretty much.
Just almost
89% or something. I don't know. Give or take, we have my margin of error is like about this big.
When you do your math, just
you're not the analytical guy. Yeah. Numbers that's close
right.
enough
for
you.
So you know, when I'm fishing, you know, when I'm fishing, I'm just like, you know, it's about that big.
Yeah, yeah. It gets bigger.
Yeah. So vision, we want to measure how have we made any progress on vision? How many rocks we got done last year is evidence of progress.
Well, and is your vision? You know, it's like a sign of is your vision successful is if the person is going and casting the vision and you go into your meeting and you say, okay, what's your vision? And the visionary doesn't have to say a word.
That's right.
Everybody else is just shouting out, okay, this is who we are.
That's right.
So that's a measure of, you know, that your vision is impacting your business.
Yep. You can also look at past kind of projects. Maybe there's a one and done project that you think is strategic, maybe around breaking open a market or a marketplace or some sort of market share. It could be, hey, how much market share do we have? We thought we had this, now we have that. We used to have this, now we have that. It could be around impact. Hey, we were trying to have this impact on our clients, and now we have this impact on our clients. Our clients were this satisfied, now they're that satisfied. It may be how many referrals did we get? That could be a strategic kind of result. How many stepping stones? Did we hit the last stepping stone? Or how many milestones on a stepping stone did we hit?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, those could be really down and dirty. Just how'd we do on our strategy? So those are some big parking lot areas. Now, what we've been doing is you take all that on a big old sheet and snap a photo and just take an hour. Don't, if it's going to take longer than an hour, you're overthinking this thing. Mm-hmm. And as a facilitator, I try to tee people up to figure out how to do this, but it just never works. I just have to kind of let go, just start telling me numbers. You know, what do you think? And one of the takeaways always is, I don't think coach, I know enough about the numbers, you know, from various sides of the leadership team. So one part of the leadership team will go, oh man, I didn't realize that was true over there in ops. Or in ops, they might be go, oh man, I didn't realize that thing we did cost this much or lost us this much or made those three people quit. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or you all worked really hard to sell this and we flubbed it. Or, hey, we rescued that thing that you flubbed when you sold it. Or, you know, there's these cross function epiphanies that happen often. But you do want to try to keep the thing to an hour or so. Put a ceiling on it. Say, guys, we're going to take an hour, 90 minutes, whatever, and then we're going to go get lunch or take a break. Put the whole thing on some sort of sheet or some sort of whiteboard, photo it, and park it. Like, park it in your you know, archives, wherever you're keeping your business data. This is a really important piece of business data.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the last piece is to build a template out of it and call it something. Call it your annual scoreboard or, you know, doing the numbers 2022 or the do the numbers template or something. But to call it something. And I think naming a thing is one of those, it's like a $5 epiphany, you know, that to take a process or to take a tool or an element and just name it and give it a funky name. Give it some sort of unique, catchy, twerpy, some name that just is, you know, your guys's thing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? The guy who's
you say that, you make me cringe. Because everybody's going to say, Tim, what did you name that thing? I can't find it on the hard drive.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you named it what?
Yeah.
Why did you name it that?
Well, I'm not. I don't think you should name it something weird, file it, and forget about it.
Right. I know.
The funky monkey numbers.
Well, tape it to the wall and put the name on it. So everybody goes, hey, where's the funky monkey numbers or whatever? You know, where it's super. Instead of going, well, you're talking about the blah, blah, blah numbers or the blah, blah, blah numbers or yeah. blah, blah, blah numbers or blah, blah, blah numbers. And instead, we imagine a football team going, did you say Z72 or ZU through? Like, and meanwhile, the clock's ticking, and I'm like, just do the play, throw the ball, you know? So I can't tell you how much time I watch clients waste arguing about the meaning of a word. That's in the frickin' dictionary or whatever. Sometimes, I don't know if I've done this with you. You can tell me. So if I'm like, hey, can we get the dictionaries out and define? Sometimes I do it with core values. Like, just get your dictionary out. Tell me what core means. Tell me what value means, you know, really. Like, what is a core value?
We haven't done that on our team, and I'm just trying to think how our team. First of all, our team's a little. We got a lot of strong personalities, yeah. And everybody's right anyhow. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing like any of my other teams.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, my gosh. And there's just so many egos. And, yeah. And, you know, it's all good. I mean, this is just, you got to have a screw loose to be able to, first of all, to think you can. And second of all, to actually run a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you have to be a special sort of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said earlier, everybody thinks that every business owner is just laughing their way to the bank, and I'm sure a few are, but the number of hours you put in versus the return on investment, the return on investment has to be more than financial.
Yes.
It does, or you would be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so how do you envision using this tool next year?
Well, the template, I'm actually building kind of a dashboard for us, and want to keep it kind of front and center for us so we can kind of take a reflection on it, look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to it also incorporate it. It's like in our meetings, we talk about there's a thing we talk about like people. And basically, that's like, is there any people headliners? Like, was there an employee that did something great, customer that, you know, raving review, something that, you know, something that just really we want to celebrate and is a win. I want to also incorporate some things that we can put on this thing next year, because sometimes we're sitting here at the end of the year and it happened in May and we completely forgot about some of these things. That,
yeah.
So I want to try to do a better job capturing these things so we can really celebrate them and look at them and say, guys, that was a huge, huge number for us. And it's like, that was a real win. And we want to capture those kind of things. So for me, that's it. And I love the fact that these numbers are not financial driven. It involves everybody on your team, every department, from the guy, you know, sweeping the floors to your owner, CEO, all of that, and everybody in between. You can also capture a lot of, like you said, numbers, customer numbers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even involving customers and saying, okay, what's some things that jump out at you that's, you know, like some of the people you do a lot of business with that, you know, that you can include on this? I don't know of anything right off the bat, but it's like some of these customers you have really good relationships with, and it would be nothing to say, hey, is there something some number that jumps out at you that's like, that this would be really good to share on with my team.
Yeah, that's good. One of the things you can do with this sheet, I would say, like the sheet we did the other day, we just did on a big old, what do you call it, post-it note, sticky note, the big ones, 30 by whatever they are, 25. Mm-hmm. Leave it stuck on the wall at the office somewhere in somebody's, you know, at the war room, if you will. And, I would encourage your leaders as you're going through the year to say to them, hey, if you think of another number that we should be glancing at next year, write it on a sticky note and just pop it right on that chart.
Right.
And just you know, low tech. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, almost along. It's not exactly this, but it's kind of that Kanban approach, which is what Trello is and so forth. And it's just visual management. Management by moving little cards around on a billboard, essentially, I think is what Kanban means. And I can't tell you how valuable that type of project management has been for clients. But that's a great way to just tune that thing up. Now, I know you're going to pound away in some software and add it. I'll forget about it, and others won't put anything in there, but I know you could crush that.
Struck me out is like thinking about how your customers could be involved in this process. If you're thinking B2C, it might be a little bit harder, but B2B customers, it might be a customer that says, you know, we got 100 raving reviews because of you delivering our product, or how you made us look good, or how you bailed us out. So that's one way. Another way to use this template, and as you look at this template, we use a scorecard. You know, I'm really big on scorecards and having a snapshot of and for me, scorecards are behavior induced. And we talked about this a little bit before. It's like, so is there things on this come out of these numbers thing that say, that's a really important number because that's going to get us to where we want to go. So we want to start tracking this on a, not just a yearly basis, but how can we track this because it inspires and drives us to a place that we're trying to go. And then the other side of that is, okay, what numbers and what things here, what behavior do we have to do on the front end that drives that number? So there's some things that showed up on this that I know are now on our scorecard that were not on our scorecard before, because there's behaviors that are going to drive that number to push us where we want to go.
That's right. Yes, that's a really good observation that you've got to have some takeaways from this thing. There's a couple of big hurdles along the way. The first hurdle is what numbers? Or we don't even get together at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. You know, okay, hurdle number one. You know, let's get together and go, hey, we had a year. Great. Okay, so that's first hurdle. And it's amazingly high for companies to go, oh, shoot, we got to do that? Yeah. You mean besides the Christmas party? Uh-huh. Yeah, besides that one, right?
Christmas party, everybody feels obligated to come to.
Yeah, right? And so... And this is, you know, this is for the leadership team, essentially. Like, hey, we've been tasked with driving this business forward by somebody. Did we do it? And the somebody ought to say, hey, how's that business of mine? Whether they're on the team or not. Anyway, so the first hurdle is on an annual reset. Well, let's have one. All right. Second hurdle is, well, let's do some good work while we do that annual reset. You know, let's actually get something done, you know, that's valuable. And then the third kind of is like, well, what are we going to do different next year? What are we going to take away from this? How are we going to change processes, change strategies, change, you know, whatever for the coming year so we have a better year? So,
I'm sure some of the people that are listening to this, they've never had an annual meeting. Someone may not even have weekly meetings, and if they have meetings, they're just bitch sessions. They don't really get anything done. So those might be some of the numbers and the things that they put on as a starting point. Okay, we're gonna meet once a month, and we're gonna do some work and solve some problems. We're not just gonna have, you know, bitch sessions.
Yeah. We're gonna do in the future here, and I think maybe we'll do a few more subsequent episodes. I just thought this up just now, but on what is, you know, some good annual tools, good annual reset kind of hacks. So next time we'll jump into a few. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame in some subsequent episodes and a few other. There's three or four I do every time, and we'll talk about those. Also, I think we had to do a series on meetings, meeting types. Just in general.
Like the pulse meeting or 90 minute, those kind of.
Yep. Just, you know, a weekly tactical stand up huddle, same page meeting, a kind of leadership team, kind of strategic regroup, whether it's monthly or quarterly, an annual meeting. You know, there's clear the air type meetings, you know, which is like, who's fired, me or you? Right. Just. accountability stuff, you know, accountability type meetings, you know, like a quarterly conversation as far as EOS goes, or a
you know, a manager talking to somebody they're managing. What kind of meeting is that? You know, there's only five or six meetings.
I'm curious, like if you polled 100 people and said, in your business, you know, do you have meetings, and what percentage of you actually feel like meetings are productive? I'm just curious, you know, how low that number would be. And it's like, and that's how it used to be, with, you know, with us. It's like meetings sucked. And it's you know, we didn't accomplish anything. All we did was come away mad. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know.
Yeah, whoever has the clicker is like, hey, Chris, there's 11.
But, you know, meetings for us is like, we came, it's like, there was so much engagement, not just with, I mean, our drivers and our, we had here, and they were really engaged in it. You know, we had one, what was it, a year ago? You came down and we went and met at that.
All staff.
The whole staff company was there. And it's like, what a productive meeting. We got so many ideas and so many things that out of that just really moved us forward. And it was like, and it was fun. You know, we had a good time, and it also connected the team even deeper. So meetings do not have to be bad.
Yeah. Well, so there's a real quick overview. Well, I don't know how quick that was, but there was a good solid overview of this exercise, doing the numbers for your organization. You could do this for a family. You could do this, for any kind of nonprofit, I suppose, any kind of organization. We had an impromptu family powwow. Well, we were just having dinner over the New Year's, hanging out. We had a weekend. New Year's is on the weekend, right, this year. I don't know. My kids were all there, and grandkids, and we're just kicking it. We're having dinner, lunch, or breakfast or something. They stayed the weekend and so forth. And we had this impromptu, like, hey, how'd your year go? You know, and I just kind of facilitated this whole thing. We had like a kind of a do the numbers, although, you know, nobody's getting out their checkbooks and stuff. It was just kind of around, well, did you get done what you tried to get done last year? What are you going to try to get done next year? And we did a bit of a summary, and it was really cool. So you could do this with your family, perhaps, on a particular level. So
you can do it individually. You can sit down and just reflect and say, how did my life look by the numbers last year? You know, am I where health-wise? Am I spiritually where I want to be? Am I in my relationship, my job? Yeah. All of those things by the numbers. And it's like, this is a tool that doesn't just apply for business.
Yes. Well, and keep in mind, it's numbers matter, but they matter because they're pointing to a person, to a bunch of people. So we got to keep the people at the center of this whole thing. But if we're trying to be productive and healthy and effective and robust because of our people, then there's some things we got to measure, some things we got to keep track of. So great reason to do the numbers every year. So there we go. 031 Lodestone True North Business Broken to Smoking Podcast. That's one of the tools we're going to talk about coming up in our annual reset series. So thanks, Tim. Always love having you with us.
These are great.
Super glad you're part of Lodestone True North here. Love that you're here. Looking forward to 23. And looking forward to episode 032.
Coming right up.
Coming right up. All right. See ya. This was good.
This is really good.
Yeah. I might try some of that.
Not today. Oh, okay.
It is.
They don't want to mix.